I want to read to you this morning from the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus. I'm going to preach on a subject that I probably have talked about in general, but I've never preached on it in particular. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the voice of the Lord. And I hope that you'll remember that. The voice of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up unto the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. That's reading Exodus chapter 24 through verses 12 through verse 18. Would you pray with me just now? Heavenly Father, as we approach thy throne of grace today, we do so recognizing that we are not able to acquaint thee with any matter or any circumstance. But we are thankful that you know the thought and intent of our heart before we come before thy throne to beg your attention to us in the only way that we know to approach unto thee. Lord, hear our prayer, not because of what we are, but because of who Jesus is, our mediator between us and you. He who stands in heaven today as one who is able to do above and beyond that which we ask of him. Father, bless this congregation this morning as we come together to lift up our voices and praise and adoration to thy great name. We are thankful for this faithful group of baptized believers here at this place called Macedonia, for their years of perseverance and dedication to thy cause and kingdom here in the earth. We'd ask you to bless their good pastor who is absent today and his family, and this that we ask for he and his family. We ask for all thy people, wherever they may be throughout this land that we live in this day. Help us, Lord, to be mindful one of another. We're thankful for thy blessings that have followed us. Help us, O Lord, to recognize thee as a great physician who is able to heal, who is able to bring to arising those who are poor, and to bring to naught those things that are. Father, help us that we might serve you with reverence and with godly fear, and that we might, through a portion of thy divine spirit this day, set our affection on heaven and divine things. Divorce our minds for a little while from the things that would depress us and disturb us, and help us to worship thee in what we trust is spirit and in truth. And when we've left here, may we say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Father, bless thy word to the hearts of thy people. Open our hearts and minds that thy word might have free course and that it might be a seed sown in good ground to come up and bring forth fruit to thy name's honor and glory. Lead, God, and direct us, and again accept our thanks for the blessings of this day. May the umbrella of thy providence be ours to enjoy. And when we meet together with joy and thanksgiving, may we again say what a privilege it is to worship thee, our God and our King, who is due our glory in this world and in worlds to come. Continue with us now. Lead, guide, direct us. Accept our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. I've read to you the words of Moses just before, or the experience of Moses just before that he has been called up into Mount Sinai to receive the law of God. And there he did abide for 40 days and 40 nights in a cloud. And it's interesting to me to notice the terminology that is used in chapter 24, in the very first verse I read to you, in verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. Now, you know, my daddy was a great man. He was a great believer in the doctrines of grace. But when he said, be there, he meant what he said. And this is the only place in the Bible that I can find where this terminology is used. When the Lord spake to Moses, he didn't have to say it twice. This was not optional on Moses' part. But he said, be there. And I like that. Be there. And Moses was there. Moses rose up. And his minister, or his attendant, Joshua. And Moses went up to the mount of God, and he said to the elders, now you tarry here till we return. Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have a matter, you come to them with it. And Moses left them there at that particular time. And as a cloud came down and overshadowed the mount, the glory of the Lord is said to have abode on Mount Sinai. And that cloud covered that mountain for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now, I'm not going to belabor that point today, but this is the ending of what is called in the Bible the dedication of the altar that stood on the outside of the holiest of holies of the tabernacle. Now, from chapter 25 to chapter 40, you'll find the description of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Everything that God commanded in it, everything that God commanded to be there, you'll find that description. And as that description is given, it was not optional for the children of Israel to take this any way they wanted to, but they were to abide in these particular directions, because these directions came, these instructions came by the very voice of God. Amen. Now, if that's true, and I affirm that it is true, without exception, words in the Bible mean something. And when you begin to study about the voice of God, you'll find that in the beginning, and you'll read this in the third chapter of Genesis and verse 8 if you want to read it. But God had given our first parents commandments. He had given them directions. He had given them literal instructions of what to do and what not to do. But we read in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, by the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That principle is taught in Romans 5 and 12 and Romans 5 and 19. But to make a long story short, our first parents disregarded the instructions or the commands of God that was given them. And remember that man crowned the creation of God. He was the highest of all the creation. The sun came into being on the fourth day. And yet the sun paled to the background in creation compared to the man and woman that God created and placed in the Garden of Eden to keep it to his glory. And God gave them instructions, but they disobeyed those instructions. Now, even some of our people sometimes would make you think that to hear them preach that God was surprised when Adam disobeyed God. Well, I want to tell you something, my friend. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, it wasn't any surprise to God. When Adam and Eve disregarded the directions or the voice of God, it wasn't anything that God was shocked about, because there was already a remedy for sin before sin entered the world. I hope you understand that. But on that particular day, the Bible said in Genesis 3 and 8 that Adam and Eve, as they hid themselves, heard the voice of God walking. Now, that's a little bit strange to me. Somebody says, what does that mean? Means what it says. I have no idea other than it just means what it says. They heard the voice of God, and I take that to mean moving in the garden where they were. They heard the voice of God moving or walking in the garden where they were. Now, they tried to hide themselves, but I want you to understand today that all things are open and naked before the eyes of God. They tried their best to hide themselves and cover their sinfulness with fig leaves. And the fact of the matter was that if you know anything about fig leaves, and these are what are called Cadota figs. I was in California not long ago, and if you'll notice out there, there are fig trees that have leaves on them that are as big as this book board. They're not like the fig trees we have here in the deep south. But they are huge, and they would cover a great deal of territory if they were sown together. But I want to tell you, when the sun hits them, they began to wither and perish away very quickly. So what they tried to do to cover their nakedness, their own works withered away before the very eyes of God. And God saw them, that they were naked, open, and unclothed before him. But God himself, and I'm giving you this as a foundation now, God himself slew animals and took those skins, the sacrifice that God himself made, and covered the nakedness of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. But they heard his voice in the garden. I want you to understand that when we talk about the voice, educators tell us, psychiatrists, psychologists tell us, that even though some of us may sound alike, I want you to understand everybody has a distinction in their voice. You know, in the state of Alabama, we've got 5 dialects in the state of Alabama. And probably that meant in Georgia. In the state of Alabama, we have the mountain dialect, which is the north. We have the clay dialect, which is going down the Georgia line. We have the black belt dialect in the middle of the state. We have the wiregrass in the southeast corner of the state. And then we have the coastal dialect. All of them are different. They're dialects that we don't know why they are, but they are. They stand out. The other day, I guess what brought this to my attention, what I watch RFD TV. Do y'all like that? That's the best channel on television. Amen. I like it. But my grandchildren that are here today, they are livestock. They show livestock, and they do that in different places over North Georgia and North Alabama. But I was watching sheep competition somewhere in the Midwest. And they had a class of sheep that they were showing, the ewe lamb class. That is the ewe, the mother, and then the lamb that was the offspring of that mother. They had the ewes in one pen, and they had the lambs in another across the ring. And it was astounding at the racket that was made, the bleating that you could hear from the lambs and the sheep, because they were separated, because those lambs were separated from their mother, the ewe. But all of a sudden, they turned those lambs and ewes into the ring, and everything went quiet in less than 10 seconds. You know why? Because every ewe knew its lamb, and every lamb knew its mother. The bleeding stopped just in a matter of seconds because the voice meant something. The voice meant something. And I want you to understand today, my friend, the voice of God means something. The voice of God is powerful. The very voice of God spake this world into existence. The very word of God was so real that he put the sun in the sky and told it to stay there. He set the world on its axis, and it's there. It turns with such precision that none can explain the event. Go with me to the book of 2 Samuel, and we'll begin when David began to be thankful for God's protection over him. And listen to what he said in this psalm of thanksgiving in 2 Samuel 22 and 14. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. You get that? Go with me to Psalms chapter 29 and notice the terminology that is used here in verse 29. There are chapter 29. There are 11 verses in this chapter, and the word voice is mentioned in 9 verses that are involved in this 29th Psalm here. Listen to what it says in verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. If you'll study about the cedars of Lebanon, sometimes you'll find that the description is very vivid. The cedars of Lebanon differ from any other tree that you'll find because they grow up through a rock. They don't come out of the soil. They grow up through a rock. And the roots of that cedar will form its strength around the rocks that you cannot see. But I want to tell you, in the mountains of Lebanon, and you read about Lebanon, about Mount Lebanon on numbers of occasions in the Bible, but the winters become so severe and the mountain is so high that oftentimes the snow and the ice would hang on the cedars. But when every other tree was broken, the cedars still stood. But the Bible said when the very weather and meteorological circumstances could not break the cedars of Lebanon, I'll tell you, the voice of the Lord could. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sharon like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of the fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice of the Lord maketh the cows to calve. Go with me to chapter 68, and we'll begin with verse 33. To him that rideth upon the heaven of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today that when you understand the very voice of God, its power, its significance, its efficacy, you understand that the voice of the Lord is that which is the central theme and foundation of all of God's word. We hear one time when an old man by the name of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, he saw the prophets of Baal fall. He saw water come down and go on a sacrifice that was placed there by heathens, and the waters that were brought filled up a ditch. But we see the power of God come down and lick up the waters in a ditch where it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, consume the altar and the offering. And Elijah himself, being the great man that he was victorious in obeying the word of God. But he got depressed and he ran for the woods and sat down under a juniper tree and prayed to die. But listen to this. There came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. There came a wind, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. But after all of that took place, the Bible said that at the mouth of the cave, there came a still small voice that said, Elijah, he says, that I've reserved unto myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know who you are or how you get along in this world, but every once in a while we feel like that we're by ourselves. Amen. Every once in a while we can be in a crowded room and we feel like that we're by ourselves. That's the way Elijah felt that day. That's the way Elijah felt down deep in his soul. I've done what the Lord commanded, and now I'm the only one that's left. That still small voice said to Elijah, he said, Elijah, you listen to me now. Listen to me now. He said, I've reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. That ought to make Elijah happy. Paul reminded us of that very thing in Romans chapter 11, verses 1 to 5. And he said, at this very time, there remains a remnant according to the election of grace that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to diverge here for just a minute. And you remember this. I don't care how bad circumstances get. I don't care how bad the things around us get. You remember this. That you and I in the church of God are not by ourselves. We're not alone. Why? Because God said, I want you to remember that according to the election of grace, I've reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. I like that. I don't care how bad things get. I don't care how circumstances affect you. We have got those scattered. And I say this, God has chosen and fixed it that way in order that his church might be sustained in this world that's no friend to grace. I tell you today that right in the middle of this sin-cursed world, there's a group of people that still give God what is due to God. Right in the middle of this world, there is still a group of people called Primitive Baptists who identify God for who He is. He who is able to speak and commands, it stands fast. The voice of God. Man told me the other day, he said, Brother Rick, he said, God woke me up in the middle of the night and told me to do this. He never done any such thing. You hear me? He never done. God doesn't do that today. He spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He spoke unto us, the apostles. Hebrews 1 and 3 says, in these last days by His Son. But today, how does He do it? He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us by His Word, not by an audible voice. Like Elijah heard. Now the audible voice of God is spoken. Somebody said, did He speak in English? I don't know. I don't know whether He spoke in English or not. Somebody asked me one time, said, would you live in Atlanta? I said, the only way I'd live in Atlanta was I'd have to hear the audible voice of God in English on the second Sunday in May at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Amen. That's the reason. That's why I don't live in Atlanta. You know, I hadn't got any direction to go that way. Don't plan on it. But what I'm saying to you is that one time when John the Baptist saw the Son of God, do you know what he said? Behold the Lamb of God. And Jesus came to John for baptism. And do you know what? John baptized him in the Jordan River. But you know what? John heard a voice, didn't he? What was the voice that spake from heaven? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That was the voice that John heard. When Peter, James, and John went with him to the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, Peter, James, and John heard a voice from heaven speak, and Peter never forgot it. Read it in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, this is not a cunningly devised fable. But this voice we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. This is not what somebody said. This is, I was right there. I remember. I heard the voice speak right there that said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. You see, the voice of God. But I want you to understand there's something even greater than that. And I want you to notice about what the voice of God says. And I want you to notice now about how the voice of God is involved in the work of our salvation. Now you notice this. In the book of John chapter 5, listen to the terminology that Jesus uses. In John chapter 5 and verse 25, Jesus had been down by the sheep market at the pool, and he begins to speak to a group of people there, and this is what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Go with me to John chapter 10 in that great sheep sermon. And this is what really rung my bell the other day when I began to watch this. And notice the terminology in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. Get that. That's the most important bedrock principle that you'll find. My sheep hear my voice. Now the Arminian will tell you that if God is going to save His people, it's up to them to hear the voice. It's up to them to hear the voice. My friend, I've got a better story for you than that. And that is that Jesus Himself said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give not offer eternal life, but I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank God today that those sheep know the voice, not in the sense of just recognizing it, but know it in an intimate way. Listen to what Jesus said now. He says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead what? Dead sheep, dead in trespasses and in sin. The hour is coming, not only is it coming, but it's right now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. My friend, I want you to understand today that when God speaks, the object that is spoken to responds. Is that not right? Sure it is. I will challenge any man in 66 books of the Bible, when God spoke and the object spoken to did not respond. When God, through Jesus Christ, spoke to Lazarus, did Lazarus say, Lord, I'm just not ready yet? We sang that old song, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. You've got more sense than that. Yes, sir. I want to tell you right now, when he spoke, they responded. When God spoke to the sea, it stood up. When God thundered from Mount Sinai, it brought glory to his name, and it brought deliverance to the children of Israel. And to the sinner who is dead in sin, without hope and without God in the world, who couldn't hear a gospel sermon if you preached it, who wouldn't know a Bible if you saw it, when God speaks, I want to tell you the efficacy or the power to perform in the voice of God is effectual or effective to that object to which he speaks. That's what the Bible means here when he said, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, didn't say they that will hear, don't read it wrong, they that will hear is not there, but they that hear shall live. You remember the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? Did he hear a voice? He sure did, didn't he? Study about that, and I'll just be able to hit the high places in it. But if you'll read in Acts chapter 9, about the first 5 verses, you'll find that Paul was on the road to Damascus and a voice spoke to him. Voice spoke to him. You know what the Bible said? Those men, now get this, going to be the most important thing I say this morning. When those men that were with him, they recognized something was wrong. And you know what they did? The Bible said, and they heard a voice. They heard a voice. All right? They heard a voice. But that A voice wasn't speaking to them. It was speaking to Saul of Tarsus. You see how particular that is? You see how direct that is? Now you go to Acts 22 and 9, and Paul rehearses that very experience. You know what he said? They that were with me indeed saw the light. They heard a voice, but heard not the voice that spake unto me. Oh, I like that. I like that. They heard a voice, but I'll tell you, God was dealing with one man, and he heard the voice, you see. He heard the voice, and he who was dead in sin, who in his own mind, his own religion, qualified him to be a child of God. He was stricken with such a blindness that he had to be led by friends to a house. And for 3 days and 3 nights, he had great scales on his eyes. But at the same time, the Lord was working on Saul of Tarsus. He is working on an old Baptist preacher by the name of Ananias. And he said, Ananias, you go to a street called Straight in the house of Judas and inquire for one named Saul. For behold, he prayeth. This is the first time you'll ever hear that Paul prayed. Why? Because he heard the voice of the Son of God. The voice. They heard not the voice. But Paul heard a voice that struck that auditory nerve that was directly to him. The others didn't get that privilege, but Paul did. And I'll tell you right now, my friend, that God Almighty today, when he deals with you, he
deals with you individually and personally. And when he born you again, he spoke to you directly and individually and called you from a state of death and sin to a life and standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. Even maybe I recognize them, just doing the best they can. Oh, no. No, my friends. No. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give. I will challenge again. And I may have said it here and believe long enough, I'll say it again. I'll challenge the religious world to show me whether God ever offered eternal life to dead alien sinner. You search if you will, but you will not find it in the 66 books of the Bible. Men tell me that God is obligated to save you if you'll let him. I want to tell you right now, God's not obligated to do one thing for you. God would have been just and right if he'd have doomed you and damned you in hell forever. But I want to tell you one thing. God was pleased to call you out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light, just like he called Moses up into the mountain and said, be there. Just be there. Be there. You know, Daddy said, be there. Brother, I was there. You hear me? I didn't have to be told twice. Moses didn't have to be told twice. No, sir, be there, Moses. He called him up into the mount. He left two men by the name of Joshua and Hur in charge. If you got a problem, go see them. I'll be back in about 40 days. I'll be back. You stay with them till I get back. The glory was so great in the eyes of the children of Israel when the cloud came down. They couldn't describe it. And when Moses came down, his face was so full of the glory of God that they couldn't bear to look upon his face. Oh, what an experience that must have been. But I want to tell you something, as great as that was, there's going to be something even greater than that with the voice of God. And don't you forget, Jesus didn't leave it out. He's the one that said it. John 5:28, he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Jesus said in John, or in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. I want to tell you, I don't know what kind of voice that's going to be. I believe it's going to be kind of noisy, don't you? Yes, sir. The trump of God. Going to be kind of noisy. Yes, sir. The same God that called Moses up into a mound, whose voice thundered in the days of David, that same voice will speak to the earth, and the earth shall give up her dead. Why? Because they will obey, just like the dead sinner. That dead sinner obeys the voice of God, but he obeys with an obedience that is above and beyond the ability of the natural man to perform. The dead will obey the voice of the Son of God, and the power of God that accompanies that voice will not fail. It cannot fail lest God's character be diminished. And I'll tell you right now that when Jesus says this, don't you marvel at this. You can't understand it anyway. I'll tell you, there's plenty about it you don't understand, and I don't understand. I don't need to understand. It's above my pay grade. Amen. It's above my pay grade. But I want to tell you one thing. I don't have to marvel at it. I know it's so. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which, he didn't say now he is, he said the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Well, somebody said, well, preacher, that sounds to me like that if you've done good, you're going to get raised to eternal life. If you haven't done too good, you're going to be doomed on the other side. I want to tell you something, my friend. The child of God, all men are going to be raised, both elect and not elect. All men are going to be raised according to the voice and the thundering power of God. All men shall stand before him, according to Matthew chapter 25.
But I want to tell you one thing. You know what he says? That he shall divide them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. That's exactly what it says. For his sheep from the goats. Now, the other day, when those ewes were in one pen and those lambs were in the other, the bleeding of those sheep, those lambs, gave evidence to me that they were missing something. Those ewes, as they bleated, they could hear the voice of the young. But when they came together, in that ring, in 10 seconds it was over with. And those lambs began to nurse, just like that. Why? Because the nature of the sheep and the nature of the lamb were the same. The nature of the sheep and the nature of the lamb. There wasn't a goat in the bunch. There wasn't a goat that made a sound. There were goats there, all right, but not a sound did they make. But when they turned them there, they began to nurse because they were alive. Brothers and sisters, I count you today as sheep. I count our Father as the shepherd. I count the church as our mother. And the reason that these sheep, you as sheep, come to the house of God this morning is to receive the sincere milk of the Word. You see how all that fits together? You see how you put it together right now? The reason you're here this morning is to understand that here in the house of God, we receive the nourishment of the sincere milk of the Word. That sincere milk of the Word does the dead no good. It's not for the dead, but thank God it is for the living. It is for the living. Today, here in Macedonia Church, we've met. And I don't know when I've had a better time preaching, but I want you, and I've preached on this before in my life. I've hit it a time or two, but I've never preached on the voice of God. But I want to tell you right now, the other day when Brother Will called me for some reason or another, I wanted to be here. Do you know the reason? Just like Moses said, be there. Be there. That's right. Now, there are a lot of circumstances that could have changed. You know, some of my folks have got health problems, and I've got some myself. But I want to tell you one thing. The fact of the matter is, when I come to the house of God and partake of the sincere milk of the Word, bless your heart, I want to tell you, just as sure as heaven is happy, I leave here with the strength that I didn't have when I got here. That's the reason we come again and again, Brother Stewart. That's the reason we come again and again and again. Some folks ask me, why you old Baptists drive so far? Why you old Baptists come and hear the same thing over again? I'm going to tell you, because it's like the sincere milk of the Word that Paul talked about. It strengthens us in time of trouble. It gives us the fortitude to press on toward the mark of the prize and the high calling of God. Moses himself was told, you be there. You be there. I'm going to call you up in the mountain. And oh, what an experience that was. I want to tell you something else. And I got to bring this down to a close. And time's got to run. Do you know what God did? God buried that man in a mountain. You hear me? He buried him in a mountain. Somebody asked me one time, said, now remember, Moses didn't get to go over in the land of Canaan. He charged Joshua to carry him across the river. Moses didn't get to go over in the land. But God carried him to the top and he let him look over. He looked over. He saw it. He carried him to the top and he let him look over. He did. And God buried him there. In the top of the mountain, buried in there. Nobody this day knows where he's buried. But he let him look. He let him look. Somebody asked me one time, said, "Oh, Brother Ricky, isn't it a shame that Moses never did get to see the land of Canaan? I want to tell you, that old man got a better look than me and you ever will." Amen. Yes, sir, that old man got a better look than me and you'll ever get. He buried him to the top of the mountain. And as he buried him to the top of the mountain, he charged Joshua to carry him across. But I'll tell you one thing. When Paul began to preach, do you know what he preached about? He said this. When Peter began to preach, you know what he began to preach about? He said, "We've not followed cunningly devised fables, but we were with him there in the mountain. We saw and we heard the voice of God. We saw Moses and we saw Elijah." But not only that, he said that rock that followed them in the desert, that rock was Christ. God spoke to him time and time again, the voice of God. But I look forward to a time, bless your heart, when the Lord shall speak that last time. He'll call an end to this mess. He'll call an end to it. Yes, sir. He'll say it's enough. And not only that, I want to tell you that same voice that says it's enough, that same voice will raise those from the dead where our tears have wet the ground in these old cemeteries. And we said farewell to those that we love. I want to tell you, that same voice is going to raise them from the dead. Thank God Paul didn't mention any words about it. He said, "I don't want you to be ignorant about this, unlearned. I don't want you to be ignorant about it, unlearned." He says, "As others which have no hope." There's some that have no expectation. That's what hope is. Have no expectation, no hope. For the Lord himself, he don't send somebody, he's going to come himself. Yeah. The Lord himself shall descend. That is, come down. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice. There it is. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ. I like that. How'd you get there? You're going to be there. You understand? Be there. I can't get that. I can't get away from that heart. Be there. You're going to be there. Yeah. You know why? Because Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And he says, "No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And nobody's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one." One in character, one in thought, one in purpose, one in power, and one in voice. One in voice. What a blessing that is today. You and I can enjoy that when others have not a clue as to the blessing of the truth of the gospel, the sincere milk of the word. May we leave here today with a special thought in mind, that sincere milk of the word to the lamb and to the sheep. Somebody said, "Well, now, Brother Ricky, let me ask you this, and I've got to give you this, and then I'll quit. Why is it that we don't divide all these children up and put them over yonder in this class, and divide all these up over here and put them in this class, and put the young adults in this class, and put the older folks over here in this class? Why don't we do that?" Let me tell you why. It's not authorized by the scripture. That's why. You know what? The same voice that speaks to the sheep speaks to the lamb. Same one. And I want to tell you something else. And you remember this. The same gospel that feeds the sheep feeds the lamb. If it's good for the sheep, it's good for the lamb. What did Paul tell, or Jesus tell Peter after he was risen from the dead? He said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" "Oh yeah." "Feed my sheep." Feed them. Don't make them feed them. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Three times you told him. Three times. Didn't tell him to make one. Said feed him. Said feed him. You know why? Because God knows his. And his knows him. And God knows his son. As they are one in character, one in thought, one in purpose. And thank God today we are his body. And members in particular, what does the Bible say? We are the sheep of his pasture. And thank God today, as sheep in his pasture, oftentimes he leads us. There are times. David said it like this. Yea, though I walk, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's get it on and then we'll sit down. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, that's Psalm 23, the most quoted verses in the Bible. You mean he didn't want for anything? Give me a break. We all want for things. I don't care what we've accumulated, we all want for things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want what? David was simply saying, I don't want another shepherd. Don't want another shepherd. That's what you don't want. He don't want another shepherd. He knew and he'd already said, the Lord had delivered me. His voice thundered from the mountains. David knew that. Oh yeah. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. He leadeth me beside still waters. Did you know sheep won't drink from running water? I never knew it. We didn't have any sheep in our part of the country. But I was up in Virginia preaching one time, and there were waterfalls coming off the side of a mountain, and a man had sheep. There were probably 200 lambs and ewes on the side of a hill near Spencer, Virginia. Water came off the side of the mountain, what's called the Smith River. Still there. I was up there the other day. But where the water came off the mountain, a cow and a horse would go up there and drink, not the sheep. You know where he drank? When that water leveled out? Down there in the shallows, where there wasn't a ripple in it. There's where the sheep drank, right there. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Get that? And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me tell you something about the shadow. A shadow never has harmed a soul. A shadow never bothered anybody. But David said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Not going to bother me. Shadow's not going to bother you. Why? Because you're the sheep of his pasture. That's what Psalms 100 said. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. I know my sheep. I know them. They follow me. And not only that, but he says, I give. My sheep hear my voice. And I could go on and on with that, and I don't have to. I know I'm preaching the choir this morning. But I hope that you've been renewed. I hope that the sincere milk of the word has done something for you, that the Atlanta Constitution can't, or the Fox News won't. I hope that the sincere milk of the word does. May God bless you. I've enjoyed preaching as much as I have in a long time. May God bless you. Thank you for letting me come to Macedonia again. And if I can ever be of help to you, please, please know that I'm your servant at any time, in any way. God bless you and thank you.